Our sermon text for this evening is from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against his disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias? He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias, come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes. Saul, a Pharisee who, through his conversion to Christ as a Christ follower, is at this time in his life a religious zealot, a religious enthusiast. He is a man of Jewish faith who is breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord Jesus. He is an enemy of the church, of that emerging church. He went to the high priest for letters that were written to small town synagogue leaders, letters that gave him permission to arrest any who were following the way, the Jesus movement, not just to arrest them, but to bind them, to interrogate them, to put them on trial, even to stone them to death, as in the case of Stephen, who we read about in Acts chapter 7. Saul's eyes were open. They were open. He was on the lookout. He was on the hunt. His eyes were open, just not to the truth. His eyes were open, and yet he saw nothing. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes. On this road to Damascus, a light flashed around Saul. He was knocked to the ground. He heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" As an initial result of that encounter, the true nature of Saul's spiritual life was revealed. In verse 8, we read, Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. Saul was spiritually bankrupt. He was holding on to the law. He was holding on to the tradition. And because he was such a zealot, because he was so focused on the law and the tradition and keeping that to perfection, he was blinded. He was blinded. It blinded him to Jesus. It blinded him to the truth of God's saving work in Jesus to such an extent that he was willing to kill, to murder, to stop those who believed and followed the way of the cross. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes. This isn't the first time God has had to deal with a people who have their eyes open but cannot see, who cannot see God's truth, God's way, God's mission, God's will in the world. We hear the word of God through the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 5, verses 21 through 29. Hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Do you not tremble before me? I place the sand as the boundary of the sea, a perpetual barrier that it cannot pass. In other words, the prophet is saying for God, I created the world. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and gone away. They do not say in their hearts, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives us rain in its season, the autumn rain and the spring rain, and keeps for us the weeks appointed for the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have deprived you of good. Now listen to what God says through the prophet. For scoundrels are found among my people. They take over the goods of others. Like fowlers, they set a trap. They catch human beings like a cage full of birds. Their houses are full of treachery. Therefore, they have become great and rich. They have grown fat and sleek. They know no limits in deeds of wickedness. They do not judge with justice the cause of the orphan to make it prosper, and they do not defend the rights of the needy. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? And shall I not bring retribution on the nation such as this? Open our eyes, Lord. Yes, open our eyes, we pray. Yet there are none so blind as he who will not see. In Jeremiah chapter 5, God rebukes God's people for their wanton and willing blindness to the poor and the needy. In Isaiah chapter 35, the prophet upbraids God's people for their wanton and willing blindness, calling a fool noble and a villain honorable, for ignoring the cravings of the hungry, unsatisfied, and depriving the thirsty of drink. The villainous and the villains are evil. They devise wicked devices to ruin the poor with lying words, even the pleas of the needy, even the plea of the needy, even when the plea of the needy is right. There are none so blind as he who will not see, as he who will not see the needs of others, as he who will not seek the will of God for all people. Open our eyes, Lord, yes, open our eyes. This pandemic that we're in, it is continuing to reveal the injustices in our world, the systemic and daily injustices faced by people of color in our land, the systemic fallacy held by too many, and one is too many, that one race is superior to another, that one gender is superior to another, that one age group is superior to another. You fill in the blank, that one is superior to another. The pandemic and the chaotic weather events of our time continue to reveal injustices and inequities in food distribution, in healthcare, in education, in employment, in infrastructure, and the neglect of that infrastructure. Inequities that we here in Middle America are far too often happily and comfortably blind to. When comfortable, when we are comfortable, we ourselves are able to ignore these injustices, whether they are across the nation, across the street, or across the room. We are able to ignore. We, like Saul, we too often are blind. We are blind because we bind ourselves to the law, to the rules, to the traditions. I go to church. I take communion. I say my prayers. And yet, at the same time, we ignore the needs of our brothers and sisters. Again, across the nation, across the street, and across the room. And so we are complicit in these injustices. Injustice is perpetrated against siblings, and we are silent. We are silent to their plight. There are none so blind as he who will not see, who will not see Jesus in the neighbor, in the poor, in the dark-skinned, in the immigrant, in the imprisoned, those imprisoned to poverty, those imprisoned to incarnation, those imprisoned to drug addiction, those imprisoned to discriminatory systemic racism and practices. We are implicit and complicit by our own privilege that allows us, that enables us, and enables our blindness. Open our eyes, Lord, yes, open our eyes. The spiritual practice that we're talking about tonight and in the coming week is the spiritual practice of fasting. And fasting is an ancient practice of emptying oneself, of withholding food for a specific time for spiritual results. It's not a sacrament. It's not required. It's a spiritual practice of emptying ourselves, intentionally emptying ourselves. An act that first puts us, the fastee, in solidarity, if only for a moment, with those who are hungry, with those who are needy, who are poor, those who are empty, empty from grief, empty from struggles with mental health, empty from a world that continues to take and take and take. It is a practice that puts us in solidarity with those who daily experience emptiness. And it's a practice that invites God's living word to fill up that vacant space, to feed the soul and to transform the heart, to transform the hunger, to open the eyes to the truth of the world around us. so that we might see beyond ourselves and see those who suffer, injustice in our midst. It also reminds us, fasting also reminds us that whatever we fill ourselves with from the world, it will not save, it will not truly satisfy, it will not justify, nor will it sustain. But it is, as Jesus said from Deuteronomy, it is not by bread alone that man lives, but by every word from the mouth of God. Jesus is that word. Open our eyes to Jesus, Lord. In Isaiah 42, verses 5 through 7, the first reading from tonight, it says, "Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness." Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes to our neighbor, friend, and foe, whom you love. Open our eyes, Lord, to your purpose for our lives. For with new sight comes new vision. With new vision comes new life. With new life comes new focus. And with new focus comes new ministry. And with new ministry comes a new justice. A justice. And with new justice comes a new world. God's world, a world that reflects God's justice, a world that reflects God's kindness, a world that reflects God's love, a world that reflects God's provision for all people. Dear friends, our brothers and sisters of color, our brothers and sisters who are poor and disenfranchised, our brothers and sisters who are differently abled, our brothers and sisters who are of a gender or sexuality that is out of the norm, they are trying, desperately trying to teach us, to free us from systems that are killing us, that are keeping us blind even as we have our eyes open. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes to your truth. Open our eyes to your world. Open our eyes to your compassion. Open our eyes to your calling upon our lives, a calling that comes to each and every one of us through baptism, that calls us into ministry, that calls us into the life-giving word of Jesus Christ. Amen.